Hey you, how's it going? My name is Ruby Price and you are listening to the 16th ever episode of Fresh From The Scene. I'd just like to start off with an apology for the fact that there haven't been any new episodes recently. What with lockdown and everything else, it just sort of... I didn't quite have the motivation to do anything. I think a lot of people have been in that position and I didn't have access to my studios. I'm recording these ones at home now using Zoom. But yeah, I guess, you know, it just means that now I guess I can speak to more people. Possibly. Yeah. There is also the possibility that you might be interested in purchasing some Fresh From The Scene merchandise. I've currently got a very limited set of items on my Redbubble store, including a minimalist Fresh From The Scene logo. I have personally bought a phone case and several pin buttons. They're actually really good. I dropped my phone as soon as I put the phone case on and it saved my phone because my phone is basically made out of glass because it's an iPhone XR and... You know, I dropped it on a tiled floor within minutes of putting the case on, and yeah, it survived, and I'm very grateful for that. But there will be a link in the description of the podcast if you are interested in purchasing any Rubes brand-related merch, which includes, you know, Rubes stuff a week ago, Rubes off camera, and Fresh From The Scene, and I will be adding to that. So if you are interested, you know, there's some stuff available. It's up to you. Anyway, on to today's podcast. This was a band I was supposed to be interviewing last year for the podcast. However, circumstances just meant that it wasn't possible to do it. And, you know, I'm quite glad that I finally got the opportunity to speak to three of the four members. I hope you're ready, because this is Kill the Silence on Fresh From The Scene. I hope you enjoy.
You're listening to Fresh From The Scene with your host, Ruby Price.
Welcome to Fresh From The Scene. Today's guests are three quarters of the lovely boys from Kill The Silence.
Hey.
Hello.
Who is in Kill The Silence? I'll, you know, let you introduce yourselves.
Me.
And me.
And me.
Woo! I'm Jason, I'm a lead vocalist and I also play guitar as well sometimes.
I'm Sam, I play guitar, that's pretty much it.
I'm Ian and I play bass.
Wait, what?
I'm John and I play bass.
Oh, I was about to celebrate, you almost had it.
Come on John, you can do it.
Come on, we're almost there.
I'm John and I play drums.
Woo!
Woo! And there, as John also said, there is also Ian who plays bass.
Yes.
So, you know, you've just got Feel Alive out, your latest single. You know, how have you appreciated the response that the song's had?
To be honest, I was kind of nervous before the song came out because you always get that, like, when you've been working on something for so long, you get to a case of, like, oh, is this good? Like, you start doubting yourself if it's good because you've listened to it for that long. And you worked on it for that long, you're kind of scared for it to flop. So I had that thing where I was like, oh god, I don't know if this is good anymore. Like I've worked, you know what I mean? Like I don't know, I'm so scared for it to come out. And obviously we switched up a lot of things. Like we started working with Field and Audio, and every time something different happens, you're always kind of a little bit nervous about how the public are going to receive it. So it came out. Yeah, everyone was like, all the people that usually message me on a release day, they were all like, oh my God, this is sick. And I'm like, oh, thank God. That's my only thought. I'm just like, thank God that thank God they don't hate it. So that's a good thing. But yeah, it's been pretty good.
It still feels like Kill The Silence, but there's very much been a very obvious evolution in like the sound. Is that down to the songwriting process? Is that down to the lyrics? What's your thoughts on that?
A little bit of everything. I think I'll let Sam talk about a little bit more in depth because he did a lot of the writing of the music, like the guitar. A lot of the song revolves around the guitarists and stuff like that. But I know lyrically, we've started listening to a lot. Well, obviously, over the years, we've listened to a lot more, a lot of different music. And personally, I don't even I don't listen to that much metal anymore, that much rock and metal. Obviously, I still listen to a lot of what I listened to back then. But like as far as new artists go, I listen to a lot of like pop rock and pop music now. So there's a lot more influence coming from like lyrically wise, and like the vocal melodies. I write a lot more. I tend to go for a lot more like catchy choruses and stuff now, because it's fun to sing. Yeah, but I'll hand over to Sam because he basically wrote all the riffage and
yeah. It was a bit of a weird one because it was when I got a new guitar, and then it was the first thing that I like played on it. Which sounds really cheesy me saying that out loud, but it was. And I recorded it and shelved it for a couple of weeks and then came back to it, and I kept adding more and more parts to it. Influence wise, I guess a lot of it sort of does come from Don Broker, but I didn't like sit down and try to, you know, force it into that sort of sound. I guess that's just sort of how it came out. And then I pushed it over to Jason, who put words to it, and then we kept rewriting it, and Jason came into my room all excited to show me some parts. I was like, oh, I've got some ideas to go along with that, and then ran into my room. Yeah, kind of went on from there.
I'm going to turn to John now. Obviously, like the drums were recorded at Vibration Studios in Huddersfield. Was that a fun experience?
Yeah, I enjoyed it because obviously we worked with Josh Fielden, the producer, so we were just using it as a space, so we had total freedom, and the guys there were really sound and like just on hand if you need anything. So it was just really easy process to just sit and not really have any of the even minor stresses or like red light syndrome you might get with like a just like random producer or a random studio, because we're kind of used to that place too. So it like familiarity, I always find, kind of helps with getting you settled in straight away. So yeah, it was good for me.
Yeah, like you've all mentioned working with Josh of Field and Audio as well for this song. How does that compare to like previously, and you know, why did you choose Josh?
I've worked with him for multiple things in the past, so I recommended him from that because I know what it's like to work with and how professional he is, and like he always gets those good sounds and stuff like that. It's like commitment and dedication, you know, that you're gonna get what you're paying for and stuff like that with him. There's not like a risk, and like he's prepared to go like the extra mile and stuff like that.
I think the difference between who we recorded with before and Josh is he's basically someone we've known for quite a while, and he went through the same university as us, apart from the fact that he blitzed the course and smashed everything. And he's obviously very committed to the art of production. It's someone that we get along with. I think that's more like even more important, that he gets us as well, and he doesn't like override any of our ideas. He doesn't take over the process. He lets us really like be us. I think that was a really important thing with the recording of Feel Alive. Like he gets what we're going for and doesn't try and veer us off into a different direction. And he's just a really good friend, and we're just blessed to already know him, such a talented producer as a friend before we started working with him. So it just came naturally, really. His name came up really early on, even when we were recording Bloodlines, that, you know, we need to do something with him. So it was just only a matter of time until we were going to work with him anyway. So no, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Like obviously as well, you worked with him on the Bedroom Acoustic Sessions that came out last year and just at the start of the year, which I also worked on actually.
And you.
Yeah, obviously having like a sort of stripped down version of songs, like because you've particularly got Get Out in that sort of arrangement as well. Do you think it's a good sign that your songs can be as good in both forms of the songwriting?
In acoustic and
full band. Acoustic and full on screaming.
I had a mate in uni actually a while back that said to me, why do all your songs sound because he doesn't like that metal music. He was like, why do all your songs sound better acoustic? You know, that sort of, yeah. I was like, well, you're wrong, but like, I appreciate that you're saying they sound good acoustic, but it's strange because I know a lot of bands, for example, like Mallory Knox, I know their songwriting process is to write songs on an acoustic first and transfer them over because a lot of their songs sound really good acoustic, but that's the reason for it. But we never pick up an acoustic guitar when we're writing a song, ever. no, maybe we do like occasionally, but we've not, like, that's not something we go about. I think, I don't know. I honestly don't know. I think we just got lucky. I think we just got lucky that our songs sound good.
You could potentially put it down to Sam's songwriting, that they sound good in both mediums.
Yeah, true. Sam's just a sick person in general. It's pretty sick, boy.
I do try out some of the guitar parts on the acoustic guitar. Not for the sake of like making them see if the wood would sound good as an acoustic track, but more just so I can hear the guitar parts more clearly, so I can see if there's anything that would sound just awful if you listen to it carefully, sort of thing. I think if you sit there and you play everything with like loads of effects and distortion and stuff, after a while it's easy for your ears to get a bit sort of saturated with the sound. I don't know if that's the right words, but yeah, it's a way for me to sort of like stand back and hear the melodies more clearly.
Yeah, Kill the Silence has been around for quite a while now. Like, why don't you run me through the history of the band?
We're old men.
People always ask, like, oh, how long have you guys been going? I'm like, well, I'm like the baby.
There's two answers to this question.
They're the grandparents, and I'm like this little baby.
Yeah,
I'm the grandparent, and they're babies.
There's two answers to this question. You could say 2012, which was the official, not official, but the first time that Kill the Silence was put to a band with me and Sam in it, which is probably the most I could ever say about what happened in that era. We didn't do a lot. I know that sounds really weird. We didn't do a lot for ages, and then we somehow pushed ourselves to do a 4-track EP, a demo pretty much at this point, and it cost, you know, we did it all on the cheap as well. We didn't really invest much into what we were doing, and we took ages to do everything. So that was sort of, we're looking back, and at the moment the sort of gear we're at now, we look back at that and sort of think we weren't really a band. We weren't really doing much. I'd say that the real birth point was when we got when we joined Rock Scene.
Yeah,
when we started working with Donna, she really helped us put into perspective what kind of work it does take to be in a band. And we could say that we said at the time, like, oh, you know, she really did like save us, because I'd honestly say I think at that point before we started working with her, we were like, ah, oh, this isn't working out. We were thinking like, ah, oh, we'll just break up and start a new band or whatever and try again. But obviously we got the message from Donna, and at that point we were like, well, we'll see what, you know, we'll see what she has to say. At that point our only good song was Get Out, Get Out. So we were like, she said, oh, I really love this song, like, and so we had the meeting with her, and then we were just like, this is really good. She's got some really good ideas. So we started, so we joined her, and then we almost immediately started working on Bloodlines. I think it was the month after we were in the studio, straight away, for You Should Know.
Yeah.
And then it was bang, 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 bang. We started investing more into the artwork, into the design, into the recording, just everything. We started actually putting effort into everything. So I'd say the birth point of the band would be 2018, the actual rebirth. But that's when we started being a band, I'd say. And then John joined not long after that, to be honest. John joined in November 2018, right?
Whenever we were recording Bloodlines.
Yeah, end of 2018.
That's when remember John nowadays. We've spent so long in lockdown.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of lockdown, obviously there was that recent march with the for like more support dedicated to live events. Sam, how important would you say it is that the live music industry returns as soon as it's safe?
It's a bit hard to put into words how important it is, because obviously a lot of people rely on it. It's like their livelihoods. A lot of people we know as well, they depend on live music, you know, to pay the bills. I think it's easy for people to just sort of think, oh, you know, it's just small artists, you know, they do as a hobby, but it's not always a case. You know, there's plenty of people out there who wouldn't consider like massive bands, or even like people like venue owners. It's easy to forget that, you know, these people are suffering from it as well, and I think that they deserve a lot more support than what they're getting.
And obviously, like we've seen, you know, Deaf Institute and Gorilla in Manchester very nearly came close to closing forever. There's been a lot of small to mid-level venues all over the country just very close to closing the doors forever. Yeah, like with festival season as well cancelled for this year, it's very much looking like the music industry is going to suffer hard.
Mm-hmm.
I like to think that when it comes back, we'll come back stronger, hopefully.
Yeah, I'm hanging on the hope that people are going to realise now that, well, I think a lot of people are going to miss it. And I think a lot of people are going to be, even people that didn't really necessarily go to a lot of gigs are going to be at that case where if it's taken away, like you miss it more. Like even if they didn't go, they're going to be like, oh, now I can't do it. I really want to do it. So I'm hoping that it comes back stronger, like Sam said, on that basis where more people than usual will come. Hopefully, but you know, it's about when we do start again, it's hitting it with a bang and getting prepared for that.
Obviously as well, when the COVID situation started up, you guys had to cancel a lot of gigs. Would you say that, you know, the lockdown has impacted yourselves as a band?
Yeah. I got to be honest, when all our gigs got cancelled, I think we had two or three that got cancelled. We were like, I know there was one at the Fenton, and we'd never played the Fenton in Leeds before, but there was one there, and then there was one for one of the Exchange in Keith. Sorry to go on a side note, actually, they put on a really the Exchange in Keith, they put on a really big thing at the moment because they're like kind of in a big mess at the moment. They're not doing too well, so they've got a fundraiser. I just want to shout out the Keithley Exchange. Have done hell of a lot for us, and if anyone can help out with their fundraiser, please do, because they deserve it. They're a really, really, really supportive venue, and I hope that I hope that they do survive, and they do have a lot of support because they are awesome. But obviously, they really do need all the help they can get, because it's bad. It's a bad scenario, this whole COVID thing for venues, and you know, we don't want to lose any venues really, because it's all gone to shit.
There'll be a link to the Keithley fundraiser in the description of the podcast if people want to go and support it.
Thank you. Yeah, my original point, what were we talking about? It was gigs. Yeah. So yeah, we got all our gigs cancelled, and then we went into lockdown. So we couldn't see each other, which sucked, but we'd already sort of written, Feel Alive was pretty much written. Anyway, did we have the drums down? No, we didn't have anything down. We were literally a case of, like, we were going into the studio to record Feel Alive in March, just before lockdown. So this song had been out way earlier.
But
obviously, we went into lockdown and then we couldn't do anything. And I got to be honest, for those first 2 months, we were kind of a little bit lazy. We didn't really do anything. And we used it as an excuse to be lazy and like looking back, like there's a lot we could have done, but yeah, it did get to that point where we're like, gosh, we do actually need to do something. What can we do? So we started looking at what we can do, and that's when we were like, we can actually get into the studio, because some restrictions have been lifted at this point, so we could actually get into the studio to record drums. So obviously not the rest of the band wasn't there, it was just John and the producer. And I think it allowed like up to four people. So I think Ian and you were there as well.
Yeah.
We obviously it was a case of we had to stick with the rules, but we got the drums down. And yeah, and then it was a case of recording socially distant. It's recording in isolation. They did lift going to each other's houses band for 2 weeks. Oh, it felt like 2 weeks in Huddersfield. So Sam, well, Ian lives with Josh, so he just recorded the bass whenever that happened. And then Sam went round and to record guitars, and then we did vocals separately as well. And then that's when we did Feel Alive, and that was done. We had a bad time for the first 2 months of lockdown being lazy, and then we were like, oh shit, we better do a song. And then we released a song really quickly, like, because we were like, oh shit, we need to actually do this. So we literally the space between finishing the recording and releasing the song was like 2 weeks.
Obviously as well, you and Sam did get in a Cheese review.
Oh, Cheese review was sick.
I felt so ill afterwards.
Yes.
How much cheese did you actually eat during that?
Too much.
Half our body weight, something like that.
Yeah. I think the worst bit was after Cheese review, we put all these cheeses on a pizza. We made a pizza because Mama gave me a recipe for a pizza. Right. So we made a pizza. And we had a 12 or 11 or 12 cheese pizza. 12 cheese pizza. It was disgusting. It was horrible.
Jesus Christ.
The worst thing about it, though, there was like certain parts that were tasty, and you'd sort of get used to it. Like, oh, do you know what? This pizza isn't that bad. And then you'd hit like some blue stilt, and all of a sudden.
Oh, the brie. Oh, yeah. The brie was horrible on the pizza. Oh, my God. Yeah, it was just too much. Usually we have a pizza enthusiast. We make a lot. We make pizza ourselves, probably because it's cheaper to make it than to get it from the takeaway. I don't know why this tangent's gone off into pizza, but it always does, really, doesn't it? But
pizza, yeah, is life.
We make our own four cheese pizza, but yeah, that was one step too far. I think we were over ambitious. Cheese review was great though. Yeah, that cheese review was fun. I ate cold halloumi. Cold halloumi was not the one.
You mentioned like knowing Marion Ox and stuff, but you know, you've played alongside Marion Ox at We Came as Romans. Who would each of you most like to support as Kill the Silence?
Jason.
John.
All my answers will probably be unrealistic. Like, I don't know, like Fever 333 on Nightverse or somewhere, it'd be right sick. But that's because I love Eric and Proto, the drummer. I need to think. I'm gonna pass it on because I just gave two anyway. No, I'm doing
it. Okay. So my obvious answer would be Bring Me the Horizon, because they're I feel like as much as any band would love to say, oh, I love to support Metallica because I'd love to play in front of their crowds. That's true, right? But as far as a band, I'd 100% would be the top band I'd love to support would be Bring Me the Horizon, because a lot of our music is influenced, especially the earlier stuff that we wrote. When we started the band, we were big Bring Me the Horizon heads, and their music has evolved in a way that I really like as well. It's really weird because my music taste has evolved with and has always accommodated what their newest stuff sounds like. So I've always liked them, which I can't say for a lot of bands I do like, because obviously bands style evolves, and some bands go off in a direction that I'm just like, oh, that's fair enough, but I'm not really into this stuff. But Bring Me the Horizon, like even from their earlier albums, like I was really into that at the time. And then obviously the new albums, a lot of electro, and I'm just like, why are they stalking my music taste? They're just bringing out stuff I love all the time. So I'd like to do that just for the case that we'll meet them. Obviously, they'll have a massive crowd. I think we'd fit on the bill with them as well. I think that's they're like probably the biggest band that we'd fit perfectly on a bill with. Because obviously Metallica and all the bigger bands are all kind of like thrashy or old rock or stuff like that. So I think our, yeah, that's the goal in life. apart from them, if I had to pick a smaller band, I'd probably say Dream State at the moment, because they are sick.
Yeah, Dream State are sick.
They are sick.
They're also really friendly.
Yeah. I have spoke to the Reese. I spoke to Reese at Leeds Fest. Donna introduced me to him because Donna knows him pretty well. So hopefully we get to be on a bill with them at some point. Hopefully sooner than Brim of the Horizon, but fingers crossed.
Sam?
Little Mix. I was just thinking about it then. Do you know what? I'd quite like to support Strange Bones.
Oh, yeah.
Me and Jason saw them when we went to go see Frank Carter. And I don't know if we'd fit on the bill, but I'd like to support them anyway. But yeah, I just really like them. And then obviously, you know, I'd like to support Frank Carter as well. But the first time we saw Frank Carter, we ended up covered in chocolate cake. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That needs explaining. You can't just leave it at that.
There was someone's birthday. I don't know if it was someone that they knew, but he ended up being presented with his chocolate cake on stage, and then ended up crowd surfing across whilst eating it, and then he just kind of got swallowed up in the pit, and then there was just chocolate cake like everywhere. It was amazing.
And this was at Key Club.
Yeah, this was Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes' his first gig at the Key Club, and I remember him playing, and he'd only released Fangs at that point, and obviously they played a full set of stuff off Rotten. Is it Rotten Blossom, the first album?
Blossom's the album. Like the EP. Okay. And yeah. Songs.
So off of Blossom, they played a load of stuff off of that. I remember him saying like, "Oh man, you guys are going hard. Imagine if you knew the songs." That was a really good gig.
Yeah, I had a friend at that gig actually.
Yeah, me.
I had a friend who
at the time
I like.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, Sam.
My soul.
Sam was there. the Strange Bones support though, I think was that a lead stylist by any chance?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I was at that gig.
Oh, we were there.
That was my first Frank Carter gig.
Really?
That's great. I only knew stuff from Modern Ruin.
Oh man.
I remember the first thing we heard when we got in was the drum beat to
Spitfire.
Yeah.
I remember hearing that and I was like, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. Oh, we just walked in. It sounded awesome. We went to the main room and they were just, it was a World War II, they're gonna be Spitfire. I was like, oh my god, these guys are sick.
Fun fact, they were supposed to be the second support act on that night rather than Yanaka. But Yanaka Strange Bones had to set off early, I think it was. So they swapped over.
Yeah, I don't remember them their set, to be honest. Because they went, I think the problem was they went on after Strange Bones.
Yeah, I've definitely had that where like you've been at a gig and the support act that comes before another support act just blows the other one away.
Yeah, it's kind of you know, we do that all the time when we open.
You should pay attention. It would be 3-3-3.
No, that's horrible.
But they're instrumental, so we'd have to.
They were sick.
Strange Bones, Frank Carter, Bring Me the Horizon, Stream State, and Little whatever bit. John said.
It's a pretty good gig.
You should pay attention. Yeah. It would be the 3-3-3 on Night Thursdays, but they're instrumental, so we'd have to just be like,
Fever.
Basically, you just need to get onto Jason Allen Butler.
But Fever 3-3-3, I think be pretty well suited because we go hard.
Now you've obviously currently got the offer of a free version of a free copy of Bloodlines, provided people pay the PMP. Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so desperate. You pay for the postage and packaging, and then we send the EP. we're basically the problem we have with Bloodlines is that we ordered too many of them. We ordered too many copies, so now we need to get rid of them.
What else is made out of them?
Yeah, just, we had just overstocked. I think we got the minimum order, which was 500. So we currently have 499 left.
I mean, I've seen. I think the house that I've got has at least three copies in. What with the people who live in it,
they're definitely multiplying. I remember having one, and then now I'm pretty sure. And when I started unpacking, I've found five of them, and then I'm pretty sure I looked at the shelf, and there's even more of them on there now. Like they just keep growing, so we need to sell them quicker than they're breeding.
Yeah,
I've been using them as a shelter in the woods for months now.
5 million copies shipped directly to your door.
It's a formidable fortress.
But yeah, they're signed as well. If you wanted to get a copy of the signed,
buy one get 50 free.
Yeah, buy one get 50 free. Buy one for free and get 50 more. But yeah, they're signed. I just need to get the guys out of lockdown and get them to sign it. But yeah,
obviously on that as well, you've got the design, which was recently played on BBC West Yorkshire Music's Introducing playlist. Like, do you think, you know, that's going to be promising for the future? Obviously, Feel Alive was out at the same time, but
I love the design. It's a good song.
I think I like. Really like her. It's like we've got the two sides of us. There's the softer, poppier stuff, and then there's the funkier stuff, like the design. Yeah. And we've got another, I don't know if I can say this, we've got...
Yeah, go for it.
...on the works that's quite in a similar sort of vein.
To the design, yeah.
Hearing. I think it's nice that we've got those, we can do like those two sort of sides. We can show both sides to us. In that sort of way.
Yeah, a very versatile band, Kill the Silence.
Well, that's basically, we can do anything. Hire us for any gig.
any gig. We can make a third side.
If you want jazz, forget about it. We've got it covered.
That's how we got the gig with Shapes, you know?
You mean Shivups?
Yeah, sorry, Shivups. That's how we got the gig with Shivups. We basically was like, they were, because obviously I think we released Memories. That was our most recent single, single at that point. And so obviously the guys at Slam Dunk could listen to that and go, I don't know if you're going to fit this bill because the other supports are pretty heavy. And I was like, hold my beer. And I sent him a set list. I sent him a set list of just our heaviest stuff. And I was like, what about this? And he was like, yeah, sick. So we can play. We got on the gig with Shapes. The thing is, I think our songs, like, we fit pretty well with Shapes, but the problem was they had two of the supports on already who were like heavy as hell.
Yeah.
I don't know why I censored myself. They were fucking heavy, dude. So it was a case of, like, obviously we couldn't actually play just a normal set list, even though it'd fit on with Shapes. Because of these other two heavy as hell, these fucking heavy bands, man. I'm just used to censoring myself now. I realise you said it. You can swear. I'm like, no, it's heavy as hell.
The irony being that if I'd probably said, oh, you can't swear, you'd have, you know.
I'd have probably swore a lot. Yeah. No, I'm well trained, I swear. But yeah. The design was all right. Yeah, it was all right. All right. Yeah, the song. I liked the video. That was my favorite part of that. Doing directing, writing, doing all the video, and it's my little baby because it turned out really, really good as a story based thing. We'd not done a full story based video without us in it before.
Yeah.
And that was obviously because that's we want to try everything. We don't want to stick to doing the same thing at all. So obviously the next natural step was to try doing a video that's fully story based. So straight away I had the idea in my head for the video straight away, because the song is about Hannibal, the Netflix TV series starring Mads Mikkelsen. So I just like thought of, obviously I had him in my head as the main. I was like, I don't think we'll be able to afford him. But like when I was imagining the video in my head, when I wrote it all down, that would, you know, it just came straight away. I did the video and I was really happy with how it ended up. And we shot it all in a day. It was sick.
I could be wrong, but I'm right in saying that all of our videos have been shot in a day.
All of them. Talent, because it's cheaper. Because it's cheaper to shoot in a day.
No. So obviously, this will be like the challenge.
Yeah, that's it. We like the challenge.
It's like the challenge.
It's like it's. You can imagine it's quite expensive to do a music video in the first place, and obviously, if you do double the days, it doubles the price. So
yeah,
you know, we'd rather we could buy a whole new line of merch with that money. So.
Yeah, it's Joel Gardner who's done, you know, the, if not everything, everything since Bloodlines, right?
Yeah. Every single one of our videos from You Should Know onwards, Joel Gardner, absolute talent of behind the camera, and gets on board with this whole running around for a day thing. He's expert at it now. But he does all the... He does all our videos. He does all of Sirens Falls videos. He does all of Your Illuminations videos, which is one video at the moment. But, you know, it sounded nice when I said it in the first time. But, day shoots are the most stressful thing in the world. You're trying to perform. Oh, God. I tell you, the easiest one was You Should Know, because that was literally just going to a warehouse and play the song. And that still took an entire day.
Yeah, I mean, easiest logistically, but physically was the worst,
because yeah,
how warm it was. And the whole thing was performance thing, so we couldn't get away with not jumping around like madmen in the warehouse, 30 degrees. Mm.
I imagine that's the advantage of filming a story-based video in winter.
Oh, it was great. Me and John went to look around the market whilst we were filming. It was great.
I loved it. I just ate all day. It was the best. And if we went to your parents' farm and we ate some more, it was the best.
I think what made that easier as well is that we didn't need to lug all the equipment everywhere as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like for the memories video, we did half and half. For the All We Are video was probably the most stressful, because we had to go... we had like three different locations to go to within a day and shoot like the entire video basically three times. Mm. So I don't know how we got on the subject of explaining all our videos now, but yeah. half of that was at our house, mine and Sam's house, and half was at the University of Huddersfield. Shout out to them for letting us film there. They were just like, yeah, let's go. Do it. Hell yeah. And then the last was at Vibration Studios, where we ended up recording the drums for the most recent single. So we love Vibrations as well. Shout out them if you're ever going to rehearse in Huddersfield. Just on the off chance you're thinking about rehearsing with your band in Huddersfield, Vibration Studios is the one.
Mm. I'm going to try and get a little bit of information out of you now. You know, you've obviously said that something that you're writing currently is very much in the sort of like field of the design. Are we expecting any more music from you guys this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
it's called The Downfall of Us All by A Day to Remember. that's the only hint I'm giving you.
Fair enough.
That's a terrible hint.
So whilst I've still got you here, is there anything else you would like to plug?
Ruby's podcast. It's pretty good. You should listen to it. Fresh from the Scene. Fresh with a PH.
No.
At the beginning, that's what it needs to be. I was going to say that. I've been dying to say that right from the beginning. All right, fresh from the scene. Check out
Josh Fielden, producer.
Josh Fielden Audio, absolute legend.
Vallejo.
Massive thank you to Roxine for your for their effort, for her, for Donna's effort and continued effort
and patience with us.
That's a good one. Music venues, save them. Support your music scene. There's a petition that Ruby's going to link in the in the bio. You should sign it, please do, because the government is shit. But yeah, listen to Feel Alive. It's on Spotify. That's what we should actually plug, right? Listen to Feel Alive. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Music. It's on every online distributed services that you could think of. At least I hope so.
Deezer.
Deezer, Tidal, bloody Napster. I don't even think Napster's a thing, but it's there. I don't know. Pornhub. I think it's on them all. Yeah, our online distributor just says it's on 100 plus other stores. I don't know what it is. You can Shazam it though. You can ask Siri what's this song? Because this is Feel Alive by Kill the Silence. So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Cost 99p to have that. So it's bargain really. check it. Yeah, check it out and keep your eyes and ears out on the Kill Silence page, because there may be something new coming sooner than you think.
Yeah, I was about to ask, like, if people want to find you guys, you know, like on the socials, where do they go?
Yeah, we're called Kill the Silence, and you've been you. Katie Silence, that's K, Kevin Thomas Silence Official, on Facebook and Instagram. On Twitter, you can find us at Kill the Silence, which is sweet. Find us on MySpace as well, if you're still using that.
Habbo Hotel, one there.
Bebo. Remember Bebo?
I never used it.
Oh God, you're the lucky one.
I think I'm
showing.
We'd have been each other's top friends.
Yeah, I was gonna say you're in trouble if you're like. If I wasn't your top friends and you were in mine, like that's like major beef on Bebo.
Well, you know, thanks for coming on the podcast and everything.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us on and destroying your podcast.
I mean, you're the first person I've had, well, the first people I've had on the podcast since March. So if anything, you've made my podcast feel alive.
Hey!
And on that note, I'm gonna say goodbye.
Woo!
Bye.
Peace.
Bye.
You're listening to Fresh from the Scene with Ruby Price.
Thank you very much for listening. I hope you did enjoy that. You'll be able to find links to everything that they wanted to plug in the description. Please go and check them out. If you're listening to this on a platform that allows you to, aka Apple Podcasts, please scroll down on the page, leave a review. It's always nice to hear feedback. And, you know, it also helps the podcast out. You'd be surprised how much it helps the podcast out, actually. If you did enjoy this podcast, maybe consider sharing it on social media. It will tell people that they should probably listen to this podcast. If you'd quite like to come on the podcast, maybe get in touch. You can find me on Twitter at Rubes, and you can also find the podcast on Twitter at FFTScene. That's FFTScene. I'm also on Instagram, Rubes001. I'm not quite sure how often these new podcasts are going to come around, what with the circumstances. And there's a lot of bands who are sort of like, yeah, we are doing stuff, but we're also not doing stuff. So there's not really much to talk about. But if you'd like to subscribe to this podcast, please do. There'll be more episodes coming. And we also do have quite the back catalogue now of 15 episodes. Not including this one. But yeah, I will see you in the next week's podcast. I've been Ruby Price, and I'll see you next time.